Welcome to the Tiny Morbid Fantasies podcast with your hosts, Andrea and Sophia.
This is a podcast of short stories based on our everyday tiny morbid thoughts. Thanks for joining us for episode 12.
If it's your first time, welcome. And if you are a returning listener, welcome back.
Tiny Morbid Fantasies is now available on Anchor, Spotify, iTunes, Podbean, and everywhere you listen to podcasts.
All right. So today's episode, today's episode is going to be Tiny Morbid Andrea. That's me, my story, Alone in the Dark. This is actually the second story I wrote when we did the sensory deprivation.
Ooh.
So because I just write stories, I guess, when I'm alone and in the dark. See what I did there?
And our positivity today is a watermelon mint tea from Trader Joe's. I know in a previous episode that I said that it was summer and I didn't feel like making tea, but I made it into an iced tea and this is delicious.
It's delightful.
Thank you.
Like I said earlier, it's like summer in your mouth.
It really is. I don't mind making this again. If you have a Trader Joe's near you, please buy this because, honestly, it's just pure happiness.
Yeah, I like it. The mint really, really sells it for me, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
So this is Alone in the Dark. Where am I? Why am I sticky? I rub my legs all the way to the knees. That's where I felt the wooden block or shelf that's keeping me trapped. It must have fallen on me somehow. This room is so dark I can't see a thing, so I search my pockets for my cell phone. Nothing. I feel woozy as I lean over to check the nearby ground for my phone. I need to get out of here. Inhaling deeply, cobwebs get sucked into my mouth. I gag and spit, then wipe my face with the front of my shirt. It's moist. God, I hope it's sweat. I cough and I feel lightheaded as a small spider crawls out of my mouth, scurries down my neck, and into my matted hair. I lean back, resting my head on the cold concrete. I need to rest my eyes, just for a moment. I wake to a familiar scent. Bacon and fresh coffee. It reminds me of Sunday morning brunch with my husband. My husband. Where is he? Where am I? There's a crescent-shaped arc of light coming from above. Is that the moon? No, that doesn't make any sense. I go back to hunting for my phone. The slice of daylight helped. I searched once more and found my phone in a pile of sludge. I flipped it over to feel the screen is cracked. This is hopeless. Beside my phone, I noticed a wooden serving tray with a plate full of food. There's toast, eggs, and that bacon I smelled upon waking. Next to that, an oddly shaped mug was filled with hot coffee. My stomach grumbled in anticipation. How did this even get here? It's probably poisoned, but I'm already trapped, so maybe not? This headache is killing me. I grabbed a slice of toast and all of the bacon. I didn't realize how hungry I was until I started eating. In a few short minutes, I had cleared the entire plate and washed it all down with the coffee. My thoughts started to clear. I need to make a plan to get out of here. I started by calling out. Hello? My voice echoed off the walls. No answer. I call out again. Can anyone hear me? From the shadows across where I lay comes a small whisper. Be quiet. Hello? Can you help me? I whisper back. I sit up and squint at the shadowy figure. Be quiet, the voice whispered again. I paused, watching in horror as a torso with only one arm inches its way into the light. It makes him angry if we make too much noise. It had inched up close enough so that we no longer needed to talk in whispers. Okay, sure. I realize now that the form crawling towards me was a skeletal woman.
How many of us are there? I ask.
From what I remember, there's at least four of us down here, though only the two of us are left alive. She coughs and plumes of dust fly into the air. He keeps us fed, and if you cooperate, you won't be punished. But that only gets you so far. And then...
She trailed off, lost in thought.
The opening above shined a light down into the tunnel. The skeletal woman scurried back into a small corner that was shadowed beneath the stairs. A bulky figure lumbered down the stairs with a heavy chain in his hands. He wrapped the chains around my wrist and waist. Then he lifted a latch and removed the device on my legs. It was the first time I could feel anything below my knees. With an incredible amount of ease, he hoisted me over his shoulder like a sack of laundry. I tried to struggle, but the chains were too tight. At the top of the stairs, he tossed me onto a worn-looking brown leather couch. Then he pulled up a rusty folding chair and sat across from me. We sat in tense silence for what felt like a lifetime. "Do you know why you're here?" said his voice, as smooth as gravel. I shook my head no. "Well, girl, you got a big choice ahead of you." I can't think of what I could possibly say, so I keep silent. He looks me up and down, inspecting me. "If you want to be a good girl, you can live in the house with the other heifers. If not, then we scrap you for parts. What'll it be?" "I'll be good," I say, sounding defeated. I'm making my escape as soon as I can, but I want him to think I've given up. He stood up and started to remove my chains. "Good. Otherwise, you'll end up like your friend down in the basement." "Where are you taking me?" I ask. "We're gonna get you all cleaned up for your first day on the job." We walk outside and across the lawn towards a large three-story home. It looks like we're in the middle of nowhere. Just trees, a large garden, and an open field that goes for miles. There's a fence near the garden where a man is digging a hole. I know that frame anywhere. It's my husband. His back is towards us, and there's a stocky man with a shotgun watching him dig. We pass by, and for a moment our eyes meet. The stocky man yells something and hits him with the butt of the gun. He goes back to digging. Once inside, he takes me upstairs to a bathroom with a shower. There was a towel and some clothes already set aside. That's weird. I catch a glimpse of myself in the mirror. There's dried blood and dirt smeared across my face. I take the shower and rinse away the dirt, sweat, and blood. I put on the clothes laid out. It was a simple white linen dress that fell to my knees. I searched everywhere, but there are no shoes to be found. Guess I'll have to make my escape barefooted. I peek outside the door, and at the end of the hall is a rough-looking woman with a pistol in one hand and a cigar in the other. She sat in a rocking chair and stared off into the distance. I quietly close the door and head to the small bathroom window. It's open and big enough for me to squeeze through, so I climb onto the ledge and shimmy across to an overhang a few feet below. From this perch, I was able to see where my husband was digging the hole, but he's nowhere to be seen. After a few moments, he appears carrying the skeletal woman. The shotgun-wielding guard was close behind. The guard again yells something unintelligible to my husband. Then my husband tosses the woman inside the hole and begins to fill it. I can hear her screams for help. She begs and pleads that she'll be a good girl this time. All she needs is one last chance. But it's too late. I look around to see if there's some way I can get down from the roof. It's time I get my husband and get us out of here. As I leaned over the edge, the gutter under me gave way. I landed with a hard thud and passed out. When I woke up, I was back in the basement with a small sliver of light shining from above. I was still in the white dress, but this time only my right leg was trapped. I reached down my legs, and right above my left knee was a stump. I gasped. "This is why you have to be good. One by one, they'll remove a limb until you can't get away. I better behave or I'll end up in the hole like the skeletal woman." The large man comes lumbering down the steps. "Are you ready to try again?" The end.
I like it. I do have one question, though.
Sure. Let me know, because this, the end of, like, the last paragraph is what I wrote last night.
Okay.
I was very sleepy.
So I guess I didn't know how she got onto the roof.
She climbed out of the bathroom window.
Did I zone out?
You might have.
Okay, cool. All right. I think I was just picturing the lady with the cigar when you were reading that. Yes. My bad.
No, that's... I made some imagery happen, so that's nice. But yeah, that's the story of Alone in the Dark.
Nice. Yeah, that one was really cool.
It's not too much torture, but...
No.
The implication is there.
Yeah.
It's all about the implication.
Do you have, like, a backstory that you didn't write about these people?
Surprisingly, for this one, no. It was just... There's this woman that woke up in this place.
All right.
It's sort of like a basement, but a well. It's, I don't know. A weird basement.
Yeah, well, like...
Concrete basement.
A farm basement.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm picturing, like, Texas Chainsaw Massacre type of family, or, like, was it House of a Thousand Corpses or the other?
The Hills Have Eyes.
Yeah. That type of family where it's, like, kind of implied that it's inbred, but they, every once in a while they get fresh meat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's no backstory on how they got there, but I didn't write in what they used them for. I kind of left that open for interpretation, even though in my mind, the women are used for breeding. The men are used for manual labor.
Yeah.
Or the women are prostitutes / breeders.
Gotcha. And they just, like, facilitate all of this. I really like the part... Because I was giggling a lot in your story. I really like the part...
And I'll probably take off some of the... I might leave some giggling. I don't know. It's a very serious story. I don't know. I might. Because we giggle every damn story, so...
Yes. I'm okay with it. But, no, I like the part when she's eating the bacon, and I got a real Ron Swanson moment there.
Yeah, she's like, you know, I'm just going to eat all this bacon. I didn't even think about him when I wrote that either. I'm just like...
It's just in there. It's subliminal now.
Yeah, I'm... That's me. I would take all the bacon.
Subliminal Ron Swanson.
I like the idea of that.
I really like that story. That was good. Interesting that you in particular wrote a story about amputees, though.
Yeah. They're not my favorite thing. Horror-wise, definitely. Just, you know, there's certain tropes that creep you out, and amputees are mine. And mirrors and children. Those are my top three.
That's a lot. And spiders in your mouth, apparently, because...
No, that was more for you.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you should see my face. I wish that you could see my face, because I was just, the whole time.
Sucking in spider webs. I don't really... Yeah, that did nothing for me, but I was like, oh, that's gross. I'm gonna put that in there, I guess.
Aw, dude. Do you have any tiny morbid facts for us?
No. Huh. Yeah, no.
Okay.
I didn't have to really research anything. Because this was kind of the...
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
The brainchild of being in the sensory deprivation tank, so... There was this story in Stargazing, which we should read on our podcast sometime, because I submitted it... I submitted that story to a different podcast, which he read it, and it was very nice.
It was nice. I liked that one.
So, yeah. That was on Stories of Your and Yours, but... We'll read Stargazing sometime. That was my original story from the sensory deprivation tank. Story one of two.
No, I like it. And I really like... And this is not to, like, promote where I work or anything like that. But there, I've come up with, like, a lot of content because of being able to float in a sensory deprivation tank. I don't know. Like, it kind of pushes your brain to do the thing that you know needs to be done anyway. A lot of people have, like, a hard time relaxing into it. And I get that. But... You're alone with yourself. There's nothing to distract you. There's maybe some music that, like, birds chirping and whatnot, and lights that you can control. But it's a really interesting experience just to be in your own thoughts.
Yeah, I enjoy it. My thoughts are horror thoughts, so... But I'm okay with it. I'm okay, and that's why we're here.
Like, semi-nihilistic thoughts.
Yeah. And this, Well, I guess, like, the tiny morbid fantasy of this one, of course, I guess, is the sensory deprivation tank, and it's called Alone in the Dark, because that's actually the title I thought of when I was laying in there, but it's just based off of being in the dark, just being...
Immersed.
Basically, like, sort of just, like, being just blackout, not drunk, I almost said drunk, I don't know, just being unconscious and then waking up and not knowing where you are.
Yeah.
Like, having that feeling.
And your eyes can't even adjust at that point. Like, there's nothing to adjust to. It is just darkness.
So yeah, it's kind of like I was in my own head, and then like everything was over and the lights came on, and then I was like, oh right, I'm here.
No, that's really
kinda
cool.
Like that.
Yeah. Could you imagine though, like what would you do if you woke up in total darkness? Not just like bound to a table or anything like that, but you're just like, I don't know where I am. This darkness is not familiar to me.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I'd probably call out.
Yeah.
So this is my first story I wrote from the I point of view, the first person point of view.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of that's my internal thought process some of the time. It's just like, maybe this is poison? Nope, I'm already trapped, so probably not.
Or best case scenario, it is poison, so thank you so much.
But hey, yeah, I can die and get out of here now. So yeah, I try to write a story from my own sort of perspective, like what I would do. Because I would clearly try to escape, and I would go along with it and pretend to, like, yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like she would still try to escape with one leg.
Well, yeah. Yeah. What is
but
it?
We'll see.
Isn't there something, like, it's not Stockholm Syndrome, but it's like the opposite of getting your captors to trust you?
Oh, reverse Stockholm.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I like the concept of that.
I feel like that's what I would try to do the entire time, just to be like,
yes, I'm on your side.
Uh-huh.
Gain their trust.
And then, like, a year later, they let their guard down for, like, half an hour, and I'd be like, bye!
I'm gonna look that up real quick. Hold on. Yes, I'm putting in reverse Stockholm
Syndrome.
Yeah. Eagle. London syndromes used to describe a response in which hostages do not cooperate with their captors and become disobedient, belligerent, and argumentative.
Oh, here, what's,
What's Lima?
No.
Is there another one?
There's
oh, what's the opposite?
Question.
Oh, yeah, Lima.
Okay,
Lima
yeah.
Syndrome. So that's the name of it. Lima syndrome is when the captors become or develop positive feelings toward their hostages, very often letting them free. So yeah, she's
hopefully. That's my end game.
She's gonna yeah. So you can try the Lima syndrome.
Yeah.
If you ever get captured. London syndrome. I feel like that would get you killed. That's if you're just not cooperative and disobedient and belligerent.
I respect that, though, because
whatever works.
Fight or flight, you know what I mean?
What's Helsinki?
Or just,
Oh, so it's like Stockholm. Oh, okay. So I was like, oh, that's basically Stockholm, but it's not. They become sympathetic, but then they also become unsympathetic towards the people trying to help them, like the police and the authorities.
Oh, well, how is that different entirely from Stockholm?
Because Stockholm syndrome, they just become sympathetic. They just do the first part, basically.
Oh.
They don't hate the police for trying to protect them.
It's like being brainwashed, like when you go to a cult and it's like, well, this cult is everything. Everybody opposing this. How dare you? And it's like, you clearly don't know you're in a cult.
Yeah. Like, there was the one woman who was captured, and I think it was the Helsinki syndrome because she started, like, robbing banks with them and...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I can't think of her name. She was, like, an heiress or something.
Yeah, I know. I vaguely know who you're talking about. Yeah.
All right, so it's Lima. Lima syndrome.
Tiny morbid fact. There you go.
Yeah, that came out of nowhere.
No, but that's fucking out. I forget if we curse or not in this. But
well,
no,
sometimes.
That's not really awesome. Yeah, I don't know what I would do in that situation, but I would definitely take time to, like, figure out my surroundings.
Assess the situation.
Yeah.
Usually I would say don't eat or drink anything, but...
I mean... It depends.
She did. I mean, if there's bacon,
it's
risk
bacon.
It, I guess.
Yeah.
And coffee. Because that cleared up her headache.
Yeah. Risk everything for bacon.
As coffee
is
does.
The moral.
All right. Well, another one in the books. We got Alone in the Dark.
I like it.
If you like this story, please check us out on Twitter at Tiny Morbid or on Instagram and Reddit at Tiny Morbid Fantasies.
To be featured in upcoming episodes, send your stories to tinymorbidfantasies@gmail.com.
Send us some. Let us know what you would do if you find yourself. What would you do if you found yourself? If this has happened to you, I'm very sorry, and let us know how that worked out. But, yeah. Let us know what you would do. if you have any questions or comments,
okay, all right,
you can send those too.
So till next time,
keep it spooky
like a graveyard at midnight on Friday the 13th.